Next item on agenda is Jerry Ferguson.
This is the Commission's consideration of the appropriate terms and conditions to accompany the conveyance of a causeway and island located on approximately 1.2 acres of we need to wait a minute.
Mr. Chairman.
Council, there will not be a forum.
He's disqualifying himself.
Well,
I understand.
We have to wait until somebody comes back.
Yeah.
We can do that.
You might want to have a recess for that.
I'd like to have a 5-minute recess, and then we'll come back.
We have it.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Go ahead, Chip.
All righty.
Jerry Ferguson?
Yes, sir. This is a commission consideration of the appropriate terms and conditions to accompany the conveyance of a causeway and island located on approximately 1.2 acres of state-owned submerged land in the Rappahannock River, adjacent to an easement from State Route 600 in Middlesex County, as authorized by Chapter 201, Acts of Assembly 2006. Kathy, I'd like to go right to the slides if you can catch the lights there. The 2006 General Assembly approved House Bill 940, patroned by Delegate Harvey Morgan on behalf of Jerry Ferguson, which authorizes the conveyance of a 1.2-acre man-made oyster shell causeway and island referred to as Butolo Wharf. It's located along the Rappahannock River at the end of State Route 600, right near the Essex County line. It's a little bit closer view of the topographic map. The causeway is a very prominent feature there on the river. This is the Causeway and Island, the 2003 digital orthophotograph. This is actually an image from 1961. And according to a 1955 letter from Mr. J.W. Ferguson, Jerry Ferguson's father, to the Corps of Engineers, a timber wharf was originally constructed by a Mr. Grinnells in 1925. The wharf was used for oyster processing, and shells were typically piled along the sides of the wharf and along the shucking facilities located at the channelward end of the wharf. Mr. J.W. Ferguson purchased the wharf in 1952, and Hurricane Hazel completely destroyed the facility in 1954. Although the hurricane destroyed all of the structures, apparently most of the oyster shells remained where they had been piled alongside the timber wharf. In 1955, Mr. J.W. Ferguson received a permit from the Corps of Engineers to construct and maintain a solid fill causeway and pier measuring 984 feet long, 30 feet wide, with a 100-foot long L-head. It's unclear whether the state ever granted any comparable authorization for the original pier or the subsequent causeway and island to encroach on state-owned submerged land. The area surrounding the structure has been continuously leased since at least 1938. The original wharf was located on a 2.58-acre lease that was transferred to Messrs. Abbott and Evans in 1938. It was increased to an 11.26-acre lease surrounding the causeway and island in 1956. The name of the leaseholder has changed several times and is currently leased by Jerry Ferguson. It should be noted that the oyster planting ground lease specifically excludes the area physically occupied by the causeway and island. The island and causeway currently appear to be similar in length, width, and configuration as they did in the aerial photographs dating back to this 1961 image. This is the survey of the causeway and island prepared by Jerry R. Marion, dated January 6th of this year. Got a little bit closer view here of the landward end of the survey. This is Route 600. There's an easement over the land, and then the causeway begins in this location. This is a little bit closer view in case you needed to refer to it, of the head of the island. The 2002 aerials and the aerials I have do not have the house that is shown here on the image as currently under construction. Just for reference, this is how it looked in 1967. You can note a large number of boats associated with the facility. And in 1968, this is an aerial photograph from 2001. The legislation authorizes the Marine Resources Commission to convey the property on behalf of the Commonwealth to Mr. Ferguson and his successors and assigns upon such terms and conditions as the Commission, with the approval of the Governor, shall deem proper. The Commission's royalty schedule recommends an assessment of between 25 cents and $5.25 per square foot for the filling of state-owned submerged land for the purpose of upland creation. The recommended assessments are further categorized by the type of upland being created. The recommended assessment for fill placed strictly for private purposes is $1 per square foot. This is the rate that would typically be assessed for filling of submerged lands associated with projects like a bulkhead replacement, 2 feet channel or of an old bulkhead on private property. An assessment of $3 per square foot is recommended for the filling of submerged lands for the purpose of upland creation for commercial purposes. The commercial rate would typically be assessed for projects including community property, marinas, and seafood processing facilities. Finally, an assessment of $5 per square foot is recommended for the placement of fill for upland creation for industrial purposes. Image from another image from 2001, different view. Middlesex County does not currently assess and has not previously ever collected taxes on the land associated with the causeway and island. They do, however, collect taxes on the improvements located on the causeway. Although the underlying property is owned by the Commonwealth, the causeway and island are included in Middlesex County's zoning plan. The area is currently zoned as low-density rural, which is the county's primary rural and agricultural zoning district. Since the area has historically been used for seafood processing and continues to support those activities, the county informs us that such use is permitted to continue as an existing non-conforming use. Staff is unaware if the property is currently listed for sale, but we did note that it, as recently as 2 years ago, this property and an associated upland parcel was for sale for $950,000. Given the historic and continued use of the island and causeway to support seafood harvesting and processing activities, staff recommends that the Commission agree with the conveyance at a rate of $3 per square foot. At this rate, the assessment for 1.2 acres would equate to $156,816. I'm available to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Neikert, Ms. Commission? Mr. Fox.
Is it clearly established that the Commonwealth of Virginia owns this property?
I believe it is. I don't know that.
Mr. Josephson?
It may or may not. There's a presumption that all subaqueous land is state-owned unless there's a King's Grant or a colonial patent to the contrary, which has been established and presumably or would ordinarily would need to be proved in court. So what we would do in this case, it would be a quit claim deed in any event.
Right. So. But it's for purposes of what we're doing today, it's presumed that we
own the bottom.
We, the Commonwealth, own the bottom, and we own the causeway and the island.
No, we don't own personal property or the field that's put in above it, even if it's illegal, as I recall. It's just, we own the bottom.
We own the bottom.
Right.
Okay.
Something you can't eat.
Any other questions, staff? Mr. Ferguson, to address the commission. You solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please, for the record.
Jerry W. Ferguson.
Good to have you here, Mr. Ferguson.
Thank you. I started 9 years ago trying to get an identity established for this facility. As I was as unclear about it as y'all were, I never knew what my family owned and what the Commonwealth owned. After 9 years and quite a bit of money, I finally made it here. We've been in the oyster business most all our lives. Hurricane Isabel, unfortunately, put me out of it. And at this facility, I had been permitted in 99 to construct a new oyster house, and we started construction on it in 2000, 2003. It was pretty much demolished. Pretty much the building was still left somewhat intact, but the cost of repairs for repairing it back for commercial use was above my means. I went to the County of Middlesex and had it approved for plans that I made it my residence. So since 2004, December, I've been living here as my home, and I shed crabs on the first floor. That is the extent of the commercial use that is here. When it went up for sale, as Chip may mention, it was included with a 10-acre tract inshore that was subdivided into lots. The 10 acres sold relatively quickly. Nobody wanted the island in Causeway because of the maintenance problems and the deed problems. So I'm here before y'all today hoping that we can maybe come to some better terms than $3 a square foot. I feel like I finally reached a goal that I've been trying for 9 years, but I hate to be penalized for something that I feel like if I haven't taken the initiative to get it here, then we wouldn't be discussing any price today. Any questions? I'd be more than happy to.
Any questions for Mr. Ferguson?
I noticed you have some mooring slips there. Will you be looking at renting slips out to anybody?
No, sir. Right now, all I'm interested in is living there and maintaining it and getting it established to where somebody knows who owns it. Right now, what's there has come out of my pocket. Mm-hmm. Lending institutions will not touch it.
Right.
Any other questions? The matter's before the commission. I would say that this is at least one of the first ones I've seen in 14 years similar to this.
One was done right outside of Urbana in 1979, very similar to this, and the commission had $4,200 in royalties. It was Lord Mott Cannon Factory.
Yeah, I understand, but my property's gone up 300% in the last 3 years, too, anyway. Now this is a situation where we certainly have to keep in mind the public trust in assigning the fair market value. We want to be fair as we possibly can be to Mr. Ferguson, but at the same time, there's also a lot of citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia that we must be cognizant of and fair to. I'm open for any discussion on behalf of the commission. Mr. Fox?
I think it would be helpful. I don't know whether it's possible, but and perhaps the legal counsel can help us here. If we could get an appraisal on what the state owns. The staff has come up with a proposal or a means for putting a value on the property, and they've come up with $156,000. I think we would be remiss if we didn't sell the property at a fair market value. Now, how that's to be determined is a big puzzle to me, but perhaps legal counsel can give us some hints on how we might get it appraised.
Mr. Josephson.
I could certainly comment on it, but I don't think I can lead you in a definite direction, because I've done some research, even though it's not a legal question, as to how to establish the fair market value of public trust lands, state-owned bottom lands. And I did send one case down to Mr. Grab, I believe it was up in Michigan. Three different appraisers appraised state-owned bottom land. They took three different approaches. They came up with what, as I recall, a low value of $100,000, a high value of about $900,000, and a medium value of about $600,000. The jury in that case awarded $900,000, and the judge overruled the jury and gave $600,000. The point I'm trying to make is it's very difficult to determine fair market value of state-owned submerged land. And even the professionals disagree as to how this can be done. The staff has proposed the royalty schedule as a possible means of determining what the fair market value is. And if you'll recall, we granted an easement to Dominion within the past year to cross the Elizabeth River with put in a second cable for electrical purposes for the Tidewater area. And we used the royalty schedule and came up with, as I recall, about $176,000 in that particular case. And, I mean, there's precedent for using that. Actually, we didn't use it. It was the appraiser for Dominion that came up with that. And the commission agreed with that, and staff agreed with that. And ordinarily, when there's a requirement for appraisals, it's not the agency's responsibility to do it. It's ordinarily done by the potential buyer of state-owned property. And whether one or more appraisers or appraisals would be required is another question. That, you know, how comfortable are you with the first one? But to the extent that you're requiring appraisals of the potential grantee here, that's just adding to the cost of what he may wind up having to spend.
Mr. Schick,
I have a little experience with appraisal of commercial property. And unlike residential, commercial property is much more difficult to appraise because sometimes the appraisal is based on its potential use, highest and best use. I don't know what the elevation – what is the elevation of this property?
The downstairs floor is 4 feet above sea level.
4 foot. So
the island itself is between 1.5 and 3 feet.
So you're talking about 1.2 acres with a good part of it is in a floodplain. Yeah. So if you got appraisal, we might be losing money. it just depends. Now, if it's residential, then you have other issues to contend with as far as
insurance.
Yeah, insurance and whatnot. So the maintenance, how much has been put into this to make it, viable at all, also goes into it. So, now, are you thinking about putting any other commercial business on this property, just the crab shedding?
That's all I'm content with right now.
Now, are you – it's zoned residential. Is there a home occupancy permit that you have for
– The building is still under construction.
Okay.
When I sold the inland properties, I sold myself out of a house.
Right. So if you were to agree not to have any other commercial establishments on the property, I don't know if that would be something to consider up here.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the conveyance is under the terms and conditions deemed acceptable to the commission.
Right.
Now, it would seem to me, based on the, we would be remiss if we didn't look to the future and potential uses. But at the same time, it's kind of hard to look into that crystal ball and make that determination. I think what we've got here is a situation where the gentleman, under oath, has indicated that he's doing two things. He's residing there, and he's also got a crab shedding operation. So you have a combination of residential and commercial. Where that fits into the matrix, I'll leave it up to the commission, maybe come up with some suggestion. I personally know what Mr. Ferguson's been through for the last number of years, having gone down there on a number of other matters. It's spent a considerable amount of money out of his pocket to get it to this resolution. So, once again, I don't know how you come up with the exact magical number. I just throw that out for consideration. Any ideas, Mr. Robbins?
Mr. Chairman, I just have a follow-up question for counsel. Is the language that's here in our packet, is that as specific as the bill was? Is that, in other words,
yes.
Okay, so we're talking about fair market value, but that's not part of the language of the bill, right? I guess my point is, if we were required to convey it at fair market value, then I would think an appraisal or something to that effect would be in order. I think we do need to, you know, have an immediate awareness or just keep the public trust interest in front of us. But I don't know that we're specifically required to come up with a hard and fast number for fair market value here.
The chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion consistent with staff recommendation to issue the conveyance at the commercial rate of $3 per square foot.
Second to the motion. Is there a second to the motion? Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second the motion.
Mr. Fox seconds the motion. Any further discussion on the motion?
Well, I just see this as a residence with a home occupancy permit, which is a lot different than a commercial facility. You know, there's no guarantees of what's going to happen to the future. Of course, we could put some caveats into it. If he was going to operate a marina and, you know, other things like that, I would say that, you know, he's going to receive a lot of financial benefit commercial-wise. But if he's just going to shed some crabs and live there, that's a totally different perspective. So I don't know if, you know, compromising between the dollar and the $3 might be a good way to go.
The chair will entertain a substitute motion.
I'd like to put a substitute motion at $1.50.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion on the motion at $1.50 per square foot.
If it's just used as residential.
Right. If it's used as residential with the only commercial activity occurring is crab shedding.
Question for counsel. Can we place that stipulation on this pertaining to what, or based on the way the bill is designed?
I don't have any problems with that on the language of the bill. Because it says, upon such terms and conditions, authorized to convey on behalf of the Commonwealth, upon such terms and conditions as the Commission, with the approval of the Governor. Now, whatever you do here is going to have to be approved by the Governor, shall deem proper. My concern is, and I unfortunately, I've been thinking about it, I don't have the answer because I don't have the expertise in this particular area of law, but I don't know that you can place that kind of a restraint on future use of real property without falling afoul of a legal principle concerning restraining the use of property in the future.
That was my concern.
Yeah.
I mean, I know through zoning it can be done, you know, because you have to have home occupancy permits to have commercial ventures out of your residential property. But I know that we're not a zoning board.
A little different situation.
Yeah.
Let me take Mr. Robbins first, and I will hear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess just looking at this broadly, I mean, I see this as a, I guess it's a semi-commercial site. Its likely highest use would be commercial. But even if it were residential, we're talking about conveying a 1.2-acre parcel of waterfront property, albeit within the floodplain, at $156,000 under the original motion. The substitute motion would bring that down to half of that. I think waterfront property is, as we all know, remarkably expensive in today's market, far higher than that. I've watched three-quarter-acre lots sell in this area for close to $1 million. So I think to talk about conveying it at $150,000 is probably extremely reasonable.
Mr. Parson, I'll give you leave to address the commission.
Sure. It's zoned by Middlesex County residential, so therefore the commercial activities will be limited there because there's only a special use for seafood processing. And also, I understand what you're saying about the price of waterfront, but that's waterfront that's already been created. My family went to the expense to create this place, and I don't feel like I should have to pay for it twice.
Well, that's okay. There is a substitute motion on the floor, $1.50 a square foot, made by Mr. Schick, seconded by Mr. Bowden. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Aye.
In favor, raise your right hand. Two. Four opposed.
Three opposed.
Three opposed.
Oh, bless you.
Three opposed.
Wayne's not here.
Motion fails. Back to the first motion.
Give us the first motion. Okay.
First motion is $3 a square foot, made by Mr. Robbins, seconded by Mr. Fox. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
That's two.
Oh, how many no's are there?
How many no's? All in favor of the $3 per square foot, raise your right hand. One. Two. Those opposed? One, two, three. Motion failed.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to table this until our next meeting. I have a problem being in state meeting.
Motion table has been made by Mr. Holland. No, I know it's non-debatable. I'm familiar. Yes, sir. Thank you. Second to the motion? It's not debatable. That area either. A minute to confer with counsel. Mr. Holland?
Yes.
If you'd entertain the chair, I've discussed the matter with counsel, and counsel does not believe at this juncture that tabling the matter for a month will allow him to come back and advise us in any better format or any better information than what we have right now. I am not fundamentally against tabling it if we could come, if we knew that 30 days was going to do us any good. But to table it with out the possibility or the prospect of getting better information, I'm not so sure that that's in the best interest of good government. No harm intended by any means.
Oh, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Are you willing to entertain another motion?
I am, sir.
Given the fact that this property does have some mixed use, I would offer a motion to issue the conveyance at $2.75 per square foot.
Can I get a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Carries. $2.75 a square foot is determined by the commission. Bob, you prepared the paperwork that in this situation that would go to the governor's office?
Well, no, what happens is the deed has to be prepared. Ordinarily, the grantee's attorneys prepare the deed. We look at it and present it to the commission. The commission votes on it, and then it goes to the governor.
Okay, so at what point would Mr. Ferguson have a right to appeal the decision of the commission?
None. No appeal of this decision.
Thank you.
I mean, he can administratively go and talk to the Secretary of Natural Resources or the governor's office, but there is no judicial appeal of this decision.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, sir. Next item on the agenda is the discussion request for supplemental commission guidance concerning royalty assessment procedures. Mr. Grab.